Welcome, Earthlings, to the oldest established podcast in the world, first recorded in 1819 and still going strong 200 years later. Unbelievable. Going superbly strong, as are the Pussycats at the top of the table. Ben Casanilia with you, and I'm joined by Tom King. King, after the events of last night with Collingwood laying an inglorious egg at Marvel Stadium, Geelong are so far in front that they can't even hear the band.
No, it's unbelievable that everybody just keeps falling over. And if the Hawks had beaten the Eagles too, it's just that Geelong are getting a Kodak sprint lane run to the top two, if not top spot. And yeah, Collingwood, geez. Their injuries are catching up.
They're getting a Teddy Demler sort of. He didn't even need the sprint lane Teddy. He just used to have a whistle, and he'd come up behind and there was no sprint lane. He'd just blow his whistle, and as soon as the other drivers heard it, they just got out of the way, and Teddy just used to file through on some of the quality beasts.
So the Cats, that was a good win by the Cats, because they were challenged early, and you sort of had a... I sensed earlier, I thought, oh, gee, hang on, this has got some similarities to...
You got a little tight in the sphincter, didn't you?
Last week, yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, it wasn't good. But they just keep finding a way. And although a lot of questions posed out of Friday night, we spoke about it during the broadcast.
And the good thing is that they're good dilemmas to have for the Cats.
Is the ruck a good dilemma to have?
No, it's probably not. It leaves you scratching your head, because I don't think, you know, any of the coaches, anybody on the planet has any idea what's going to work, you know. And while Blitzars was fantastic and he turned the game and he played a great game, and he showcased his versatility and athleticism to go from fullback into the ruck and swing a game. I don't think there's another player on the planet who could do that, go from key defence into the ruck and dominate a game. But yeah, we spoke about it on K-Rock yesterday at length, and I just got this feeling that Blitzarves is so good down back that he's needed down back. They're gonna have to put it on Reece Stanley to London Fog and lift, and be look. He's not going to be Gary Dempsey. He's not going to be Peter Moore. But he has to. He can't get beaten like he did against Scott Lysette. That can't happen. And his effort and intensity early in that game on Friday night was fantastic.
Yeah.
And he did have a little impact himself, but unfortunately he was beaten by O'Brien, who was all over him, cheap suit
style. He's going to be a jet.
Yeah, he is. So you couldn't question Reece Stanley's effort. He clearly had a rocket. He played poorly the week before. He came out and he's visibly, his effort was first class, but he's still getting beaten. Mind you, he did kick a goal, and so he was contributing. But... I think they've just got to put it on him and give him a couple of more weeks. If that doesn't work, I think you go with Zach Smith and potentially try. And we've said that, okay, you're going to forego some athleticism and potentially some possessions around the ground with Zach Smith, because he's not going to rack up 20 possessions. But does he help you in the clearances? Does he give you a competitive edge in the clearances and being able to direct taps? Because he's 205 and ruck is his go. He's played ruck, you know, since he was young. He came to the Gold Coast and played ruck. That's his position. Reece Stanley's not a ruckman. That he was never a ruckman at St Kilda. You know, I worked with some guys from St Kilda. When Geelong got him and sort of put him in the ruck, the first thing is he won't play in the ruck. He's just not built to play in the ruck. In terms of it, I don't mean that physically. He's built to play in the ruck, but it's not his position.
No.
He's a Tom Lynch.
Yep.
They're both 200 centimetres. Now, I'm not suggesting he's Tom Lynch, but Tom Lynch from Richmond is not going to go into the ruck.
No.
That's Reece Stanley. We're trying to make him something he's not. And they're being exposed. So, yeah, look, it's a really interesting one. I reckon they've got to go back to Stanley, put it on him, say, this is up over to you, Blitzarves back into defence, and then that move can potentially be made break in emergency.
Yep.
You know, you... But I don't think Blitzarves in the ruck is sustainable for the remainder of the year, because I just reckon it leaves you exposed against the better sides down back.
Yeah. The question is, though, English next week.
Yeah, well, he's still developing.
So you could Stanley will, you'd
well,
think.
I'd be saying, Reece Stanley, you need to come out and beat, you know, comprehensively towel up Tim English, who's a good, he's going to be a really good player, Tim English, but he's still young.
Yep. St Kilda.
Yeah, well, they got more problems than Lindsay Lohan in the ruck. I mean, that story about them offering Sam Draper, who's never played, they're offering him $800 million in a 47-year deal to come and join the Saints. So they clearly have no faith in Marshall. They have no faith in Longa. So that's another... They're there 2 weeks where Reece Stanley, at the absolute bare minimum, has to break even, probably beat those two guys in the ruck.
Didn't Marshall get offered a new deal by St Kilda?
He did, but I think what St Kilda's thinking is that Marshall can be the Sava Radigalia.
Yep.
He's not really a ruckman. He can go in and pinch hit and be your second ruckman, but he's actually quite good up forward.
Yep.
So that's what they want to do with him rather than make him... I mean, we don't want to make Sava Radigalia a ruckman. Well, I think he's his long-term future and the impact he's going to have is as a forward. And, of course, he can pinch hit for 3 or 4 minutes in the ruck. Yeah, fine. But not he's not going to be a ruckman.
Yep.
That's what they're thinking with Marshall. So it's 2 weeks where you stick it on Reece Stanley. You got to lift, do the business, play well, and then get some confidence from that. And we want to see that intensity. Do you know what? It just, you could see visibly on Friday night Reece Stanley's effort, couldn't you?
Yeah.
In the first quarter.
Oh, his intent was...
He was busting his boiler.
Yep.
So why does it take him to play really poorly to do that? He's got to play that every week because he's not good enough to be going at 50%.
So the other question then to pose is the Cats lacked a second marking option going forward on Friday night with no Rowan in the side and no Radigalia in the side.
Yep.
Do they this week then move Stanley forward?
No, Radigalia comes back this week, doesn't he?
Well,
or not?
No, he's no guarantee.
So what's happened to his hamstring?
Well...
It's been gnawed off the bone, has it?
Well, it's not as simple as it was. So
that's not good.
No, so that's not ideal. So if he's
Rowan would be back though.
So if he so Rowan back, but do you roll Stanley forward and you bring Smith in and Stanley plays the chop out role?
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought. I think they're too far gone down the path of trying to make Reece Stanley a ruckman. Now to try and reprogram him to play up forward.
He did spend some time forward on Saturday night.
A little bit.
When Blitzars went into the ruck.
Yeah. He didn't do much.
No, but he provided a target, and that was a target the Cats were lacking in that first half. It actually, in a way, Blitzar's going to the ruck caused a bit of a domino effect.
But what are you going to go with, though? I mean, you do that, you know, it works, you beat the Bulldogs, Smith plays well, Stanley plays okay. Then what happens then? Because then the week after, if Radigalia comes back, he's the man who's going to take over as the second tall forward.
He'll definitely play.
So then you're just creating... Another problem, potentially another issue. I think you've got to go with. Clearly, they've made Reece Stanley the number one ruckman.
Yeah.
Now they're trying to hide him somewhere. You can't. You can't put him in the ruck if he can't perform. He can't be in the team.
Horrible position to be in 12-2, isn't it?
Oh, it's horrific. Wow. I mean, the thing about it is that we're focusing on the things that they're not issues, but they're good issues to have. There's good discussions to have. And Geelong have plenty of time to have those discussions and get them right. But the rest of the group is playing really, really well. I mean, it's the team effort, the capacity to be 20 points down, keep your composure, work your way back into the game at halftime and then pretty much dominate. Well, they dominated the last quarter. The third quarter was... Geelong probably had the better of the third quarter. So they started after halftime, they took control.
It was Geelong's game from midway through the second quarter.
From
the moment they got 20 points down, then they...
It was good. It was. And they had, we spoke about it, the depth of the team to have somebody like a Jed Buse not being able to get a game, albeit coming back from injury. But, in any other year, he probably comes back maybe after 2 weeks.
Yep.
Yet he had to sit it out for 5 or 6 in the twos. And really sort of find a little bit of form, get some consistency, continuity. And it's not all about possessions for him in the VFL, so you wouldn't judge him on that. But he had to do that. Then he comes in and plays on one of the most dangerous forwards in the comp, first off, and does the job. Jack Henry, I don't think Jack Henry's a forward.
Thou shalt not play Jack Henry forward. Yeah. That is the 11th commandment.
No, that's right. And look, to his credit, younger player, let's forget, he's still a very young player.
He's 20.
So he's playing forward, struggling. And then they put him down back, and he suddenly looks... it's good composure from him, mental composure, not to drop his bundle.
Oh, he's a pretty level-headed kid.
Yeah, so that was really good from him. I like that. Collar Jasny continues to... I'm going to toot my own horn. I've always said he's going to be a good player. And people say get rid of him a few years ago. It's just people are so impatient in footy.
I think he's played 55 consecutive games now.
He's played up to about 83, 84 games maybe. Yep. He's just become a really reliable player. And, of course, he's going to have down days. He might play a good player who gets hold of him and kicks him goal. Well, that's footy. Now, that's going to happen to anybody. I mean, Tom Hawkins the week before couldn't get a kick. Comes out this week, responds, plays well.
Two goals,
so,
three.
Joel Selwood has some poor games. Dangerfield has poor games. Tom Lynch, Jack Rewald, everyone has poor games.
Everybody has a poor day at work.
Of course. And you've got some quality opposition. So, but Kyler Jasny's really, you know, really playing well. Zach Tui's finding his feet. The defence is really good. Again, to concede only 10 goals to a team that can score. Mind you, they were without Jenkins and Lynch. So that probably hurts them to a degree. And Tex Walker's just...
Well, see, that hurts Walker. I know we've been a bit scathing of Tex Walker and his performance the other night, but he takes all the heat when there is no Lynch.
That's where he's at. He's not capable of taking that heat and performing. So he really struggled. You just liked what the Cats did. Selwood, his response to an average sort of subpar game from him the week before. Tim Kelly was superb.
Three Brownlow votes.
Yeah. We spoke about it yesterday on K-Rock. What do we make of, and I'm not knocking him, but what do we make of Dangerfield going out of the middle and the clearances suddenly turn in the Cats' favour?
Well, it's not a bad dilemma to have in terms of, can you just play Danger more forward than you play him in the midfield?
Yeah, you got an option though. Then you've got,
especially now that Selwood showed, it was almost a, you people have been talking about me being an outside player this year. Don't forget what I can do in the engine room.
Oh, yeah.
And in he goes on Friday night, and he was there at the first bounce on Friday night, and he probably had arguably his best game of the year.
Yeah, he did, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I've got no doubt.
So then you can go, well, we can go with Selwood, Duncan, Kelly as our three in the middle, or Selwood, Kelly, Guthrie in the middle, and we can play Danger forward. So maybe that's then the you go with Rowan, Hawkins, Dangerfield.
Maybe. I just think Selwood, Kelly, Duncan in the middle, they're all C-ball, get-ball players.
So you have Guthrie, Selwood, Kelly, Guthrie.
Somebody who just...
Selwood, Kelly...
And Scott Selwood.
Is Selwood.
Yeah, I see he was the best in the twos again yesterday. So the twos had a win. Scott Selwood named in the best. How did Zach Smith go?
Zach Smith played
okay. Who else was in the mix there in terms of the VFL? Oh,
Sammy Simpson again.
Played well. It's just unfortunate for Sam Simpson. There's just no spot for him. So there's too many players like him.
So Zach Smith kicked two goals. Kruger kicked a couple of goals.
Yeah, I saw a little bit of the footage of he looks what they would call a likely type.
So the best was Selwood, Henderson, Parsons, Simpson, and young Jarvis, a first year draftee. So
Ben Jarvis.
Yes.
Is that his name?
Ben Jarvis.
Surely they call him Green Alice.
So they had 17 AFL listed
players.
Dazzle
know what I'm talking about there.
17 players running around AFL listed in the VFL. So the Cats are in a very healthy position.
It's good. It's really good. You couldn't be happier with how they're tracking. I mean, the couple of goals Myers kicked in that third quarter were just, you know, rippers. He's going to go down. I'll make a big call here. He will go down as one of, as his career unfolds, he will become one of the most deadly general play shots at goal in the competition. He has an innate ability to kick goals, size up the goals quickly, find an avenue to goal and produce the right kick to get the result, whether it's a, you know, snap round the corner, all that. He's set shot, general play goal kicking is superb. He's set shot kicking, it's a bit... Yeah, his technique is horrible, and he's not a long kick. So
I'd love to know where he learned that from, that technique for set shots.
Yeah, I think he YouTubed it. but he is going to be dynamite. There's a lot of Stephen Milne about the way he plays, and he's going to be really exciting to watch.
You know, we're here for Curse High, Benny. The good people of.
We are.
Jared and the team. Grovedale, North Geelong and Ocean
Grove.
It's
Sunday morning, King.
It is. We've done this on a Sunday morning. Usually we record Tuesday afternoons, but... Benny's launching his torso into a tin missile and heading elsewhere. And you're going overseas and I'm going to Yarrawonga.
It'll be nice up there, a bit of golf. I won't be playing any golf, which is disappointing.
I was going to put the clubs in, but
can't go to Yarrawonga without taking your clubs.
Too late, the back car's already packed.
Huh?
Basically, Leon.
That'd be a little bit like going to Whistler without any skis. I'm not sure you can do that.
Oh, no. It's a bit of family time.
Hey?
You can't have family time unless you get the 8-year-old a caddy for you.
It's like the chicken looking at the lettuce. The chicken sees a salad.
That's horrible.
That is comedy gold. So the Bulldogs Sunday morning
so
style.
Port Adelaide beats Geelong. The Bulldogs beat Port Adelaide.
Well, so what was going on? I actually went out for dinner last night, so I didn't see. I saw a tiny bit of the late of those games, but we got home, flicked the TV, and I thought something. I actually went over and tapped the telly. I thought there was something wrong. That both the games were not going the way that the bookmakers thought they would. I said that last week. I said, you know, after the game, Geelong Port Adelaide, I said Port Adelaide just as likely to lose yep. next week against the Bulldogs. Yep. That's Port Adelaide. It must be so frustrating for Ken Hinckley that they can come up against the top of the table Cats, have a plan, affect it brilliantly, dominate the game, win, and then the following week against a side that is just going, they get led a merry dance. He must just lie in bed at night and just absolutely rip the follicles out of his cranium.
How many years did Stephen Motlop sign for with Port Adelaide?
Was it three? Oh, I'm don't quote me on that. I wouldn't want to be in a court of law suggesting that.
I was going to say, if it was two, we're not seeing much more of Stephen Motlop at AFL level.
No, he was. Oh, I didn't see it, but he didn't. He looked a bit forlorn after the game.
Yep.
Yeah, it wasn't the great. It's.
He's, yeah, unfortunately, yeah. I used to love him in full flight, but he's
one of those players.
He's a shadow of the player.
Well, he needs to be in a good team.
Yeah.
He's not a poor team player because he doesn't. He needs others to bring him into the game, and he can do some good things. But if others aren't bringing him into the game, it's an absolute slog. He struggles.
Grian Myers, we talked about. If Grian Myers was at a lesser club, how would Grian Myers be going?
I think he'd go okay. I think he'd go okay. And the thing that sets him apart is his engine. Yeah. And we saw he ran the most. His GPS reading was the highest on Friday night.
Because Bucky brought up an interesting point. That the pick that was used on Grian Myers
from Carlton.
Was for Carlton.
Bucky has a number of Carlton faux pas in his head, and they continue to come out. So I think he suggested something about in the game we did yesterday with Chris Marston. He was tied back to Carlton as well with pick three that they got for Chris Judd, wasn't it?
Correct. Yeah. It's part of the Kennedy deal as well. Yep.
Yeah, look, I think Myers would be okay in a struggling team. Probably may not get the same opportunity he does at Geelong, but his capacity to run is basically, you know, it's elite, and that gives you a chance.
All right. Do you want some questions?
Oh, I love questions.
All right. Daz Broncos.
Yeah, what about the... Eh?
Daz Broncos.
What about the bloke who went to the doctor, and the doctor said, I think you're a hypochondriac, and he goes, oh, don't tell me I've got that as well.
Bom, bom. Great win on Friday night. We needed a response and we got one. It took some doing. We got the chocolates, but there's still so much to do. It's the chicken and the egg. What comes first? Is Stanley the issue in the ruck not getting the ball to the mids, or are the mids just not working hard enough? Blitz to the ruck seemed to solve the clearance issue after a while, but perhaps it's not that simple. And Jed Bewes needs to stay in the team. He took the All-Australian small forward and bathed, towel, dried off and packaged for shipping back to Adelaide Oval. That is not a one-and-done performance. Can we go in unchanged next week? Fogarty out for Sav, maybe. Well, Rowan will be back next week.
Yeah, well, yeah, he'll be back. Yeah, I agree.
If you keep doing that, you'll be one and done.
I agree with all that. There's a little something. The windows in this little studio here have started to mist over. I agree with all that. Busey was good. And there generally is, you know, if you're talking, if we project forward, we love to project forward. Cats are 12-2 and are going to be at the pointy end of the finals. Hopefully, you suddenly think the opposition who Busey can play on. So, Collingwood, potentially Jamie Elliott. Mm-hmm. GWS.
Could he go to DeGoey?
No, he's not big. Well, no. I don't think he's big enough for DeGoey. DeGoey probably, he'd be giving away, he's 186. So I think DeGoey's about 190.
No, Busey's 188.
Is he?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, maybe. DeGoey's got, Busey's, I suppose, is not his issue, but the one, I'm not sure his tank's massive.
Yep.
So how that works, I'm not sure about DeGoey's tank, but yeah, look, it could be
Busey's tank.
It could be an option. Yeah, yeah. That could be an option. So it's certainly Elliot.
Toby Green.
Yeah, Toby Green from GWS. He could go to Toby Green.
Cripps.
Cripps for West Coast. Yeah, he could go to, but he could go to Liam Ryan.
Yep.
So you're thinking you're suddenly matching him a player to a player.
Castagna.
Yeah, he could go to Castagna, or he could, yeah, depends on who they've got up there. I mean, Higgins will probably come back into that side, I would have thought.
So Higgins is out,
Butler's out. He's having his smelly period, but yeah. I reckon he'll freshen himself up with a bit of Glen 20 and get back into the side. So, but you can find matchups for Busey, so I think that's obviously a massive positive for him.
Yeah, Rowan will be back.
Yeah, he's back.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be one and done with Fogarty.
Yeah, he had a quiet one, but he hasn't played since for a long time. Yeah. So, yeah, look, I'm sure they'll persist with him. They seem to like him. Yeah. I mean, that issue there, you talk about Sam Simpson before, that makes it even, you know, difficult. They clearly right now are rating Fogarty over Simpson because Simpson has done more of the hard yards.
Does Simpson look for a new home?
Yeah, potentially. And that's
Geelong has still got 11 out of contract.
That's the unfortunate part of having a strong team is that there are guys that just need to go somewhere else for opportunity. And it's you know, no... That's just a reality. And Sam Simpson might be one, given the presence of Parfitt. Myers now has jumped up.
Atkins.
Atkins has now become a regular senior player. You throw in Rowan, Dalhouse, and I've probably missed one. He's well down the pecking order there, unfortunately, Sam Simpson, despite the fact, and it's good on him that he's playing good footy in the VFL because he's at least keeping his name in the mix.
Catters 28. Hi, guys. Question I'd like to pose. Considering the need to find a new ruckman after Brad Otten's retired and how this is still an issue to this day, was the decision to choose Jackson Thurlow instead of Brody Grundy in the 2012 draft the worst drafting decision since Hawthorne took Mitch Thorpe ahead of Joel Selwood?
Richmond took Richard Tambling ahead of Lance Franklin.
Oh, jeez. Geelong haven't been noted for drafting ruckman. Not.
No one has.
Young ruckman.
No, most clubs shied away from it, particularly first-round picks. They just won't use a first-round pick on a ruckman.
And Thurlow was a first-round pick. He was pick 15, I think.
16, maybe, 16. Yeah.
Yep.
Every club could go back and say, geez, we wish we had picked this guy. And, yeah, if you had your time again, you'd love to have Grundy. And, I mean, Collingwood were rewarded because they were prepared. They had the kahunas to draft Grundy. Because Grundy was a top 10. They were talking about him being top 10, but at that period, no club was prepared to back in a top 10 pick on a ruckman, given the recent history of ruckman, who'd been taken at the pointy end and struggled. Yeah. But Collingwood had the kerners to do it and have been rewarded. Now
they were in a position too, because they had Jolly as a very good ruckman.
Yes, and what will happen now is because Collingwood have had some success, and I think you'll find Tim English will develop into a really good player too. He's another one that drifted right out of calculations and went about pick, I reckon, 17 or 18, same number as Grundy, to the Bulldogs, because clubs just kept shuffling him off the board. Yeah. Now, those guys are having success. I'll bet you the clubs then, the trend will be then clubs will then again start taking ruckman.
Yep.
So, yeah, Geelong, I don't know whether there's a really good ruckman in this draft. I have no idea, but you'd love to see the Cats now, given that they do have Stanley for another year.
Yep.
They'll probably have Abbott or...
They've got Fort for another year.
And Fort for another year. So they've got three ruckmen. It'd be great to get...
So you're saying Smith's gone at the end of the year?
I would have thought he'd want to go somewhere else to try and get an opportunity. But it's a really good opportunity then for the Cats to draft if there is a ruckman there that can be taken, that's got the talent to be qualified for a 10 to 20 pick, take him. And then give him at least got a couple of years to develop with some others there.
A solution to our ruck woes was dished up to us on a silver platter 7 years ago, and we didn't take it. Just adding on to what Catters 28 had to say, we've been paying the price ever since. Instead, we've had the debacle with Hamish McIntosh, and have had to rely on inconsistent players like Smith and Stanley over the journey. Turbo Cat, enjoyed your call, guys. I'm starting to think Ben has a bit of a bosom fixation, not to mention obscure, long-forgotten weightlifters.
Robert Cabas. What a champion Robert was. The hairy-shouldered weightlifter.
Egyptian-born.
Clean and jerky. He was pretty good at that, and he also was wonderful at the snatch arrangement.
Guys, I think the club erred at selection. I think Hawkins works better when there are other legit marking options to share the inbound ball with. Buzz's form in the VFL has him probably playing as well as he ever has. Freddie Krueger looks like he could be a nightmare for opposition with and when he gets a chance. I think they're gonna play the long game with Krueger.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
they can afford to.
Yep.
There is nothing wrong with doing a reasonable apprenticeship in the VFL.
Who was the most successful team in the 80s?
Hawthorn.
What did they used to do?
Everyone played about 800 games in the VFL.
Yeah, or reserves.
Including Michael Tuck.
Reserves.
Oh, the reserves, yeah.
They parked them.
They did.
Yeah, Dipper, Michael Tuck.
Look at... Yeah, there is nothing wrong with that. If a player needs that time and is developing well and progressing, there's nothing wrong with playing in the VFL. If you've got a... I mean, people jump on about Constable being in the VFL. Well, he's a second-year player.
Yeah.
So Yeah, 2 years in the VFL. He comes in as a potentially a third-year player, and he's ready to go. He's got that grounding, whereas you put players in who are not ready because you think they've got the talent and might make it down the track. They have a couple of stinkers. Confidence drops. I'm sure there's players who have been put into senior footy before they should have been and have never recovered from it. Jack Watts.
Danger for one of the most gifted, talented players I've seen is an awful set shot. I'd hate to see him being plagued by the ghosts of Mooney if he missed a big goal in a big game. Does he recognise he has an issue? Has he tried to do something about it? Well, only Patrick Dangerfield knows that. Maybe next time he does media. Next time he's on K-Rock, we might ask him about his set shot goal kicking.
Yeah, it's. I mean, just his kicking in general. He's an elite player. So many aspects of the game he does so well, and he's brilliant. You know, his power and... his power to speed ratio is off the charts, and his attack on the ball and his ferocity, intensity, his marking overhead is really good. You know, his capacity to impact a rip a ball out of a contest and get it out is unbelievable. But his kicking is always been average. I mean, I keep saying he won the Brownlow and he was ranked the 484th kick in the AFL.
Yep.
There's no other comp that would award the best player who is not even in the top half and in the preeminent skill of the game.
Yes. The Governor, a couple of questions. Rank in order of preference what ruckman Geelong should go after in terms of Jacobs, Ryder, Darcy, Witts.
Well, Witts is not going to go from Gold Coast.
No, he's captain up there.
Yeah, he seems to have established himself. I think he's become a rusted-on son, which is good. They need those sorts of players. I think it'd be... I hope Witt stays at Gold Coast, because the Gold Coast need players to stick it out. They need some blokes to put their hand up and say, yeah, I want to be at Gold Coast. So I wouldn't... Look, Ryder... Yeah, I mean...
Ryder's been linked back to Essendon.
Yeah, where he's got some talent, Ryder.
Yeah.
And he's one of those blokes that potentially, if you do give him the ruck mantle and say, here it's yours, you're playing in the ruck and you're going to play 85% in the ruck, you may pinch it forward for a couple of minutes, but you're our ruckman. I think that absolutely suits him. Jacobs is an interesting one.
You heard a whisper?
Well, I heard a whisper that the Cats were sniffing around Sam Jacobs for next year.
So if they're doing that, that's telling us that the Cats still think they've got one more year.
Yeah, with this group.
With this group, yep. which means that a little ball bloke in number four plays on, I reckon.
Well, it depends. I mean, that might depend on if they win it this year, Kingy. If they win it this year, he may just sign over and out on the bottom of a piece of paper, and that he might go out on a high. If they don't win it, let's say they were to be beaten in a grand final or some prelim. Sort of agonising prelim loss,
again,
he may say, yeah, I'll go around once more, given his... I mean, you don't even need to question his form.
No.
It's whether he mentally is... willing and able to go through it again. And I think, look, I've absolutely no idea, but you would have thought, I think there's a bit to play out, but I think there's a distinct possibility that he does play on.
The bye comes September. Should we treat the bye week as a normal intense training week with an intra-club practice game or a game against a composite GFL, GDFL side? That's not going to happen.
Only the bye, tired of that bye rubbish. Like, Geelong lost... Whether it was off the bye, okay, is that a coincidence? Maybe. They lost a game by 11 points.
Didn't play well.
Played horrendously. They had probably 15 of the 22 played sort of below par. They had probably one winner on the night was Dangerfield. Duncan had a lot of the ball, but it wasn't hugely, he didn't have a massive impact. But Dangerfield played well that day. Yeah, Kelly, Selwood, the whole lot, Hawkins, a lot of guys played really poorly. So and they lost. So they just conceded 9 goals and lost. It's pretty, there's some serious positives to take out of that.
First question, this is from Foxdog50.
Hang on, just
from the Gov. Any chance of K-Rock trying to convince Justin Longmuir to defect to the Cats at the end of the year?
Well, we're doing some stuff with him today, so I'll ask him. He may be a little shattered after the Pies just put in a 5-goal effort last night.
He's not the forward coach, is he? No.
No, he coaches... I'm not sure what he coaches, but it won't be the forwards, hopefully.
Foxdog50, we are halfway through the season. Which players look like to be the D word delisted at the end of the season or even move on if they don't perform from now to the end of the footy season to free up positions for the upcoming draft? I think you've got to let 4 go.
Yeah.
I suspect...
Well, Zach Smith.
Yeah. Scott Selwood's career nearly done.
Yeah.
Lockie Henderson? Or do they have him in one more year because Taylor may retire?
Yeah, well, that's an interesting one.
I think Jordan Cunico might be in a bit of trouble.
Yeah, it's unfortunate too.
But do they delist and maybe rookie?
Yeah, I would have thought that's a distinct possibility because he was showing a little bit Cunico, and unfortunately that horrendously broken ankle has absolutely ruined his season. So I think he showed enough to consider that. Mm. And, I mean, he was, it's just disappointing for the young kid. So, I think Smith probably needs to try and look elsewhere. He might be right with Scotty Selwood. Just somebody like a Sam Simpson.
Jermaine Jones.
I mean, they're playing that role across half forward that's got
oodles. Parsons contracted for next year.
Yeah, I'm not sure. He'd be another one. It's on the outer. There's some little bit of trade potentially. I mean, somebody might look at somebody like a trade at Sam Simpson. Mm. Does
Tim Kelly get packaged up with a...
Well, Tim Kelly won't be there, yeah.
Yeah, does he get packaged up with a couple of players to make it even...
Like some sort of Demtel set. And get sold like at 1 o'clock in the morning.
You know, somebody will be the Jack Crisp in the deal of steak knives and end up being a gun like Crisp has at Collingwood.
Yeah, well, that's I think there's certainly some. Yeah, I mean, Kelly going, you would have thought. Smith, Simpson, Scotty Selwood potentially. So there's definitely four or five there that I don't think will be in cat colours next year.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how that plays out. Benny, next week, Pete Ryan from The Age.
Oh.
Old.com.
PeteRyan.com is going to be filling in for me, and it's going to be absolutely unbelievable from Pete. He's got his fingers all over the pulses of what's going on in AFL foosball, so no doubt he'll deliver some genuine gold, Kingy, as we'll be doing this afternoon at St Kilda and Richmond.
Yeah, by the time people hear this,
the game will be done and dusted. And let's hope if St Kilda get absolutely ripped apart. There's going to be some fallout, as they say, in AFL circles. Yeah. Isn't it amazing that I reckon Alan Richards has done a really good job with St Kilda?
Yeah.
Yet you lose one, you play one horrid quarter, and instantly the whole tenet of the conversation around Alan Richards is, oh, he's in trouble.
Yeah.
And it just builds. It's like it just builds. It's driven by the media. It sort of frustrates me a little bit. But anyway, let's hope the Saints put in a good... I don't think they'll win, but let's hope they put in a good performance. And next week, Kingy, the Cats, Saturday night against the Dogs. Mm. Another good little challenge, and particularly that ruck issue. It'd be really interesting to see what the Cats do, how they run out, how they look, and how they, as we say, I hate saying it, how they structure up. I'd love to structure up.
Four games of K-Rock 2 on the weekend.
Yes, we've got a four-gamer.
Hawthorn Collingwood.
Yes.
Essendon-Sydney. All that Essendon-Sydney all of a sudden.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of spice on it.
Actually, Hawthorn Collingwood's an interesting game all of a sudden as well, with the Pies being beaten.
Yeah, and the way Hawthorn played last night. Yesterday. Mm. Yeah, it was good. So Collingwood, you'd expect good sides will bounce back, so I would have thought that.
Cats and the Dogs. And then we the Cruiser Cup on Sunday afternoon.
Carlton v Melbourne. So we've got a massive week of K-Rock. I'll be quenching the bintangs and just looking on from afar next week, and then back into it for the Saints and the Cats the following week. But 12-2, Kingy, it's a lofty position. It's unbelievable. The Cats are flying. Let's hope they can continue.
Kerr's Hire, Geelong's official Wacker Noisa dealer. North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove. Kerr'sHire.com.au.
Thanks for listening. You can subscribe to the Cat Attack podcast on iTunes.